Today is March 4th. We're back home from our spring training trip. We'll talk about that trip as well as what we saw there. The Young Bucks got to be the headline this week. You're listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast. Yinz guys, thank you for listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast, where we talk all about them Pittsburgh Pirates and that. My name is Josh, and I'm joined, as always, by my brother Jake. What's up, Jake?
Hey, man. How's it going?
How do you feel? Have you recovered yet?
After about 10 hours of sleep last night, yes.
Oh, nice.
I went to bed very early last night, you know, got off the plane, got a shower, and went to work for 8 hours, so... That was a little rough.
Yeah.
But yeah, good to go now.
Well, that's good. So you had, what, like an hour flight?
Yeah, it was an hour, supposed to be an hour and 15 minutes. Somehow they got us there in like an hour.
You know what? So we both flew Breeze Airlines. Mm-hmm. And if you're out there and you're like, what the heck is Breeze Airlines? It's worth a look. I mean... Because or Breeze Airways, maybe it is. I don't know. Either way, it is. It can be pretty inexpensive if you're not like taking a bag and all that stuff. Fix my chair here. It can be pretty inexpensive, pretty mm-hmm. cheap. Actually, I would even say. I mean, round trip for me was like less than $80.
Mine was like 88.
Yeah, so pretty crazy when you get down to it. But anyway, my flight about 2.5 hours. And then got in a car for about 3 hours. So, yeah, it was like, it felt like a much longer trip, right? I was not doing a very good job helping stay awake. So,
yeah, so
I was a boring passenger.
In your flight, it leaves at 6:10, right? And mine didn't leave till 8.
So did you sleep at all?
I did not. I watched some movies. I say that plural, but you know, it was a movie.
I was gonna say you were there. How long? Yeah,
it was like 2 hours.
Yeah, 2 hours, and then
but then you have an hour on the flight right. too.
Yep.
I watched the Yogi. It was good.
Oh, from Netflix Yeah, that's Netflix, a good call.
It ain't over. Yeah,
that's a good call. Man, yeah. I slept.
I did not know that his son played for the Pirates.
Dale.
Mm-hmm. Did not know that.
Yeah. He got in some trouble.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He got in a lot of trouble. Yeah, for sure. But I didn't know he played for the Pirates.
Yeah. He's maybe part of that old thing. Anyway, yeah, it is cool. Where was I going to go from there? I mean, yeah, I kind of got caught up last night with some sleep too. So feeling pretty good today. Got real, like the sunburn was just burning last night. I feel like it's looking okay. Yeah. Not too bad.
I actually didn't get burnt. Like, I mean, I definitely got sun.
I got it here a lot.
Yeah.
So for those of you on video can see the sunburn on my neck. Mm-hmm. That's where I got it a lot.
I definitely got sun, but very, very little burnt.
Yeah. It's crazy. And this is probably the last thing we'll do on the boring talk. But like, you know, we were at Walmart and I was like, I got to get sunscreen because I didn't want to pack it. Mm-hmm. But I also didn't want to take it home.
Well, you also used the spray, so you couldn't pack it.
Sure.
Because you can't do the aerosol can.
Oh, right. Right. So anyway, it's like 10, 11 bucks for a bottle of it for redheads, crazy. Which means 50 or better. And so we just couldn't find the travel ones. We finally found them at Five Below's SPF 30, which just means like you're going to get burnt, but you're not going to blister. So that's basically where I was at. And if you have red hair or fair skin, you know what I'm talking about. Hey, we had a great trip though, man.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was a fun time. Not long enough.
Right.
Not long enough. 3 games, 3 days, and then left the Airbnb at like 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:30 in the morning. So really just, I mean, like a very strict 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's too short if you're planning a trip down there. However, it was fun. I mean, if there would have been a day off in there, man, it would have been bad. Or like a far away. Like the good thing is we had one away game, but it was just in Sarasota.
Right.
So we were able to go down there to see the Paul Skeens game. So that was really cool.
Yeah.
So yeah. We're going to get into everything.
I'll call it a Paul Skeens sighting. So, I'm not going to call it a Paul Skeens game.
It was a spring training game. I think it was awesome. So, but we'll get into that.
Yeah.
We'll get into that. We'll get into a bunch of the baseball stuff. I will say, I want to say something right at the beginning. When I told you I was going to say this. You know what's funny too? For those on just audio, I decided to wear the Pirates Hawaiian shirt giveaway today for the episode, even though I didn't take it down there and wear it. It feels like such a spring training thing, and I did not take it down there.
I saw quite a few of them floating around.
Quite a few of them. So I thought I'd get in the spirit and wear that for today. This is a new hat. You've got the logo there for spring training. So you've got your new spring training hat on.
Yep.
Which is a solid hat. But anyway, I got to say, man, going down there, maybe more so for someone like me and the rest of the folks who actually live up this way in and around Pittsburgh and the climate up here. It was incredible to be in great weather and wear shorts and a t-shirt every day. And you know what I mean? Not have to worry about, I was just about ready to say not have to worry about taking your hoodie everywhere. However, we went over to the beach and watched the sunset one night to say we did that. And it was freezing.
Yeah.
However, it is super easy to be down there and come away with a ton of positivity. Like I said, the weather is nice. You're watching baseball for the first time in a long time. And so there's a little bit of like getting to see your players. Anybody does anything good, it's kind of elevated a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a lot of reports, and it's the whole thing. Like you're sitting up here in the cold, and somebody says, I feel great. I feel like I did a lot of work in the off season and it's great. And you go, yeah, sure. So did everybody else. But there's something, I don't know, something about the sun, something about seeing a guy say it. And you go, oh man, I think I believe him. You know what I mean? I don't know what it is, but there's something about it that just makes you have this level of positivity that I don't think you have from this far away. And maybe if people have been to spring training before, they can replicate that before going down there. I don't know. Maybe the fact that we were there so early and all the negative things you just really brush away. I think as it gets closer to the season, you're kind of like, hey, you really got to figure this out. But when most of these guys that we saw, Jake, it was their first or second outing.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, no big deal. Right. You know what I mean? And sometimes I think that second outing is even worse. Because the first outing, you're like, let's get some outs. Let's get back in the groove of things. Let's see what I got on this pitch and that pitch. And then whatever you didn't do well, the second outing, you're going to double down on that. And you're going to say, I got to get a better feel for this. I took a video of every pitch that Paul Skeens threw. Mm-hmm. And I deleted some of them now that on the outside of it, right? Because I don't care to have a ton of videos on my phone. So what I did was I went through and I deleted like everything but like the action hits, the pitch where he goes 102, you know what I'm saying? Things like that. And I did notice that, and you'll know what I'm talking about, change up, missed arm side.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching his bullpen and we were saying, he doesn't like it. And we think it was the changeup, and he was missing arm side, and then felt like he's dialed it in, but we did see that.
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of interesting in that way, but it wouldn't be surprised if you see more of that changeup.
Right.
But I don't know, because how many times is he going to be out there?
Right.
We're kind of talking Paul Skeens already. Either way, the vibes are good. Maybe your lens is a little bit blurred when you're down there, but it is easy to feel good about things. It really is.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this and you're saying these guys are off the rocker, right? Maybe we are. maybe not on some things. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying everything, but I'm just saying in general, I could sit here and tell you three things I don't like, but like still kind of feel good. You know what I mean? Like, it just, it's easy to have good vibes about it.
Yeah.
Anything really other than like, I didn't have any cash to pay a toll bill for $1.75. I literally in this trip bummed $1.75 off somebody that worked at a 7-Eleven. To be fair, I offered to buy her something, but she was just like, take the money.
Yeah.
I found out I could eat peanut butter chocolate chip granola bars.
I figured out that a can of Pringles is not terrible for a dinner.
Jake got a little taste of eating dinner my style on Wednesday night. I was like, we got stuff at the house, man. We don't need to go anywhere. We were there, right? And then we were kind of like, I don't know. I don't want to. And I'm just sitting there like, I'm not feeling great. And like, I don't really want to. There's nothing I want. Well, you had a Little Caesars that the Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And I said something about reheating it, and you don't reheat pizza.
I do not do that.
Guys, what is this guy doing? Nope. Yeah. Not even one time. Not even make it.
You got to eat pizza fresh or it's no good.
There'll be a lot of takes on that.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's going to cold pizza for breakfast is the best pizza there is.
No, that's a Katie thing for sure. She loves cold. She never reheats pizza either. It will always be cold.
Ashley likes cold pizza.
Yeah.
A lot of people do. And I'm not hating on them for liking cold pizza. So why would anybody hate on me for not liking reheated pizza?
Well, I think they don't like reheated pizza too, right? So they just eat it cold.
Ashley will reheat pizza sometimes.
Okay.
But she likes the cold pizza, so.
Right. If you reheat the pizza in the oven.
No, that's false.
You still get the crisp.
Right, but that's all I get is the crisp. Just tastes like I'm eating a board. I mean, not really. It feels like I'm eating a board.
It probably
doesn't taste like it.
Yeah.
It feels like it.
I don't get that far. I think you're burning it.
No, because it's not burnt.
Yeah, but
it's the whole thing gets hard and it's just like.
Okay. I think there's a way to do it. I think it's hard to accomplish. I will give you this. There are pizzas that I won't reheat. A lot of Central Ohio pizzas, that real flat stuff, it does not reheat the same.
Right.
For sure. All right. In general, the way that we're going to set this up is we're basically going to go through some of the guys and some of the things that we saw while we were there and before that and really since that too. Mm-hmm. But some of the things that kind of stood out to us baseball-wise, right? Let's talk baseball-wise.
Yeah.
And so the way that we'll do this is we'll kind of go with like the guys we know about, the major league players. We'll kind of start there. Then we'll go into some young bucks and fringe players. And the way that I'm saying that is like maybe some guys who are maybe even new to the team, even though I got Rowdy kind of up in the veteran category. But maybe some like younger guys who, you know, or fringe guys who are maybe in position battles and things like that. Right.
Gotcha. Yep.
And then the young guys totally who aren't there. So that's how we'll break this down a little bit. But let's talk about some of these guys. Where do you want to start? You see the list in front of you. I don't care where we start.
I mean, let's start with Brian Reynolds.
Okay.
He's hitting the ball very far. Dude hit it over the batter's eye, halfway back the batter. So the batter's eye is actually like the front, back, whatever you want to call it, of a building, right? Lands halfway back the roof. Mm-hmm. I mean, he crushed that ball.
Right-handed.
It was crushed. But I mean, just
and he hit one. He's clear over the stands. Yesterday.
Yeah, I feel like he's in a good place. I mean, I didn't see who the I didn't really notice who the home runs were off of, but yeah, it doesn't really matter when you hit the ball that far. I don't want to sit here and say he's locked in already.
Was that Tuesday or Wednesday? That was Tuesday.
Tuesday. But he even said, so MLB Network was there on Wednesday, right? And he even said on MLB Network, he's like, you know, was feeling kind of rusty, got into one, now I feel better. So I like where he's at right now.
Cup of coffee with Colorado in 2021. And that's been it for Ben Bowden is who he hit that monster bomb off. Or Ben Bowden. I don't know. So anyway, that doesn't, you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
So we talked about this last year. Baseball Reference has a thing that they call opponent quality or op qual or whatever. And essentially it's based on the levels their opponents played last year, right? Mm-hmm. So 10 is they played Major League Baseball last year. 8 is AAA, 7 is AA, 5 is high A. And then it just keeps going down, right?
Yeah.
And so you get this general like opponent quality. So if you see a guy hitting, you know, 400 and something, and then you look at his op quality of 7.1, speaking of Gilberto Celestino, it's going to carry a little different weight. Brian Reynolds is at an 8.1 right now. So basically like AAA major league guys. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And Edward Olivares, for that matter, 8.9. He's facing good pitching so far.
Yeah.
So I'll bring that up as we go, right?
Sure.
Just to kind of have a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a difference in some of these, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Brian Reynolds looks good. Even hosed the guy. One game we were at. I thought that was it was a really, really good throw. Looked good in that way. Lawrence Shahadi kind of tricked him into saying 90 wins on the MLB thing.
Yeah.
So, you know.
A little frustrated we didn't get that selfie.
Yeah, a little frustrated. We tweeted back and forth. Lauren Shahadi was down there in both Bradenton and Sarasota. Mm-hmm. And the MLB Network crew with her and Cliff Floyd would have been nice.
Yep.
But almost got that.
Next time.
Katie was disappointed. She was disappointed. So, yeah, next time. She did. It was next time. Anyway, let's move on to kind of go before we go to another red hot. Let's talk about O'Neal Cruz a little bit.
Okay.
This is so funny, but he stole a base in Sarasota and he slid feet first into second base. And there is just a part of us all who saw that, who were like, all right, we're feeling good.
Yeah.
That wasn't the first time he slid, but it's the first time I saw it in person.
Right.
And I certainly thought about it. he also ran back on a couple fly balls and seemed to handle those fine as well.
Looked good with the glove.
At Leecom, we did see a classic O'Neal Cruz throwing error. Mm-hmm. Very difficult. In between hop, there's a short hop. Not the short hop, like the scoop ball, like a pick.
Yeah.
And then there's a long hop, which is also a play that first basemen should always make. This is that in-betweener, man.
Yeah.
And
it's a tough play.
Coming from his arm, and he did throw that ball hard. Mm-hmm. That's just difficult. You want a first baseman who can bail him out? You got to throw strikes, man.
Yeah.
You got to throw strikes. Yeah. And that's fine. I think it always happens when he like takes all those steps and his arm kind of gets in front of his feet.
That's fair.
You know what I mean?
I could see that, yeah.
I feel like he's still moving, and then maybe when he lets that left foot down, it kind of sticks, and he kind of, his feet stop and the arm gets out extended and throws it straight down is what it always feels like. Feels like he went to step and instead of making a full stride, he kind of stopped halfway.
Yeah.
Like his foot got stuck or something is what it looks like when he does it. So he's maybe just putting that foot down too early and letting the arm get out ahead. I don't know.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Either way, hit some balls hard.
Yeah, he did.
You know what I mean? Hit some balls hard.
He scorched that one off Burns.
Yeah.
A ground ball between first and second. He hit that ball hard.
Yep.
That was a two-strike count, wasn't it? I think he had two strikes on him.
I think so. Yes, he did for sure, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did. So, yeah, and he had a couple hits. Went backside on another hit in that game.
He's gotten walked a few times.
Yeah, he has gotten walked.
It's good to see.
Dude, I mean, all in all, man, he looks good.
Mm-hmm.
He looks fine.
Looks healthy.
Yeah. I think we'll see as he gets his... Dude, it's going to take longer for him in timing. Yeah. And as he gets his timing down, I think you're going to see him start to send the ball deep. Mm-hmm. But it's probably going to take him longer than most. I mean, missing a whole year is no joke.
Right.
You can't replicate that. Especially when you're injured missing a whole year.
Right.
So, all right, let's go on to Key Brian Hayes. He's the one kind of impressing a lot of people right now. Hit the grand slam, goes backside in Sarasota for a homer, showing he's not selling out to pull the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some other hard hit balls in there too. The approach looks good.
Yeah, he's striking the ball well.
The glove is...
Do we even need to... I mean, like... He just makes it look easy.
There was a couple plays that were plus.
Yeah.
Just nuts.
Best defensive third baseman in the game.
Best defenseman.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's looking good. And, you know, to be honest with you, the power that we're seeing right now, he's on that list of guys who could pop 20.
Mm-hmm.
He really is. If it clicks, he's on that list of guys who can pop 20.
Yeah.
I know that's not a crazy number, but I said it before the season or before we did anything. The Pirates have never had four players in the same lineup with 20 home runs.
Yeah.
And this team has a potential to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Could be cool. How about Mitch Keller? Had a good outing, outing.
Yeah.
Flanked around our trip. We didn't get to see either one of them.
Yeah. You know he's out there working on it. He's definitely working on something.
Yeah.
So if it's not working, he's going to have a kind of a rough outing. If it's working, he's going to have a good outing. And I'm sure most people, their first time out, it's like you said it early, like they're knocking rust off. They're just going out there and just kind of throwing. Somebody was saying there was somebody who went out there and just threw all fastballs.
Yeah.
Didn't care what happened, just pitching in a game, throwing fastballs, which part of me wants to jump on the train and say, what do you mean you're just out there just fastballs? Like, you're a professional. Yeah, that's fine. But they're still breaking off their winter rust. Yes, they've been working all offseason. It's not like it's breaking off rust of pitching. They're breaking off rust of being in the game.
Yeah, it's different.
Being back out on the mound in front of people. Like, it's different.
I tweeted something today because Colin Holderman, I think that's it for Mitch Keller, right? So I'll just go ahead and, since I'm bringing this up, we'll talk about Holderman. He looked good the game we were at.
Yeah.
There were some pitches that were ridiculous. The sweeper in particular was unreal. We were behind home for his outing and it was filthy.
Yeah.
But he leaned into his sinker a lot today. It seemed like he didn't get it over, even nibbling when he did. And then he started throwing it more and more and more and more. And all three of his walks today were on a sinker. So that sinker is essentially his fastball. If you've got a three ball count, the sinker is the pitch. Like his sweeper is a swing and miss pitch. It's a chase pitch.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The cutter is a little different. He doesn't throw it all that often. He has to have a sinker for strikes. He has to, right? So you know that that's what they're going to do. Oh, let's dial that in.
Right.
Let's make sure that we throw that with three balls. And if you're not going to get it over, you're going to walk people. So let's keep working on it until we can get a feel for it. And right. I kind of said that in spring training, if you're struggling to throw a pitch over the plate, you throw it more often. In the season, you'll stay away from it. You know what I mean?
If you don't get it dialed in.
No, but I'm saying, like, if you go out there in a certain day and you're like, gosh, I can't throw that pitch for strike, you don't throw that pitch.
Yeah, right.
As a reliever, you just stay away from that pitch. In spring training, it's like, nah, let's go ahead and keep throwing it until you get a feel for it. Because in the season, you'd like to know you could still do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I said, you're there to get better, not do better, so that you can be better. You know what I mean? And the, like, that's the, sorry for the John Madden right there, but, but like, that's the idea. So when you see some of these guys kind of pile on, especially when you're talking, and I say this because, like, who the heck did we play today? The Tigers did the same thing. They had a ton of walks too, and they had guys who walked in runs. Because you know that's what they're doing.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're going after it and they're like, oh, you stink? Throw it again till you don't stink. You know what I mean? So it's just kind of the idea of like, this is what spring training is for. So yeah, so I thought, you know, no big deal on Holderman. We saw Moretta have kind of a rough game too.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of that. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Aroldis Chapman, we got to see him make his spring debut. His
off-speed stuff is filthy.
His off-speed stuff was filthy. Really, his fastball was too. He's still throwing BBs. Bly Madris jumps out ahead of one, and that's what happens when you're a guy like that. He takes 99 to straightaway center. Kind of a fun moment for Pirates fans and the likes because of Bly Madris and Rule 5 and the whole thing. Paying Chapman a lot. You know, the whole, it was just kind of a fun moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he struck out three guys after that. So what do you want?
Right.
Might've been a walk in there too. I think there was a walk in there too.
Yeah, I think so.
Marco Gonzalez first outing. What do you got?
It was his first outing.
Yeah. Kind of hard to say, right?
Right.
The velo was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like seeing that, but he got hit hard.
Yeah, he did.
And when you're at the game and you're kind of standing out in the right field, it's kind of hard to really know what was happening there, but
yeah,
we'll see more.
Some of them weren't hit hard. I mean, the first few hits he gave up the flare over second base.
Yeah, you're right.
Then he got a broken bat single.
Yep. The error.
And then a couple balls were struck hard in the second inning.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah, you're right.
Two runs.
I don't know. I don't really know that there's a whole lot else. Andrew McCutchen, Josh Palacios still kind of working on some injury stuff. Palacios lower leg. Kutch is still from the stuff last year. They're just taking their time with him.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't see an issue with it.
He's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Whatever
he needs to be ready, he'll let him know.
He'll let him know. The last guy I have on here is Jack Suwinski, because I feel like in true Jack Suwinski form, it's just kind of a mixed group out there. I've liked what I've seen so far. Defensively, he's been good.
Mm-hmm.
Had a couple good throws. Had a great catch in Sarasota. And it was a little bit of an adjustment, a ball that was hit into the gap, started back. You'd never wanted to see him start up, right?
Right.
And adjusted and was able to go over and dive and lay out for a ball and make a catch. Really athletic. I thought he closed in on it well. Anybody who says he's slow isn't watching.
Right.
But he's hit some balls really hard too. And some of them have been outs. And some of them have been hits.
So the only thing I wanted to see from Jack Suwinski this year that I haven't seen yet is just a little more aggressiveness at the plate. He takes this approach where he tries I don't want to say tries to get walked. He just won't swing unless it's the absolute perfect pitch. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that until you get one strike. He watches too many strike threes.
Yes.
Just don't get in a two strike count.
I'll go there though. Strike two, choke up and protect. Cut down on some strikeouts. Hit less home runs with two strikes. But a guy like Jack Sawinski with the power that he has, I'm sorry, pick him out and go yard. But once you get to two strikes,
Jack Sawinski with the power he has, if you think you can hit, like you look for your perfect pitch on strike one. After you get strike one, you look for a pitch you think you can hit hard. Doesn't have to be your perfect pitch. You just look for a pitch you can hit hard and hit it hard.
That's just not what they're doing.
I know. Obviously, that's what I'm saying. I was hoping to see them do that.
The whole team, though.
Because I don't.
You know what I'm saying? It's not just going to be a Jack thing.
Some of them are doing different. Like, well, I don't think it's
right, but that's what's being taught.
People need to tailor to players, not to teams.
That's what I'm saying, though.
Doesn't have to have the same.
That's what I'm saying. You're saying some guys are that way. You're right. Some guys are. That is not going to be the way that they're teaching for Jack Sawinski. That's his strength. That's his strength. And that's not just in Pittsburgh either. That's the game.
No, I'm not saying anything about that. I'm just saying I wanted to see him be a little more aggressive. I want this dude to attack balls.
Yeah.
And hit the ball hard places. Like, we're going to run into the same issues.
Well,
you strike out a ton and you strike out, like, I get it. That's fine on one hand. But, like, some of his at-bats, you can just throw them in the trash. Like, they're awful. And then his very next at-bat is a great at-bat. You know, it's just every once in a while, it's that little bit of inconsistency thing from Jack.
Yeah.
And it's just like those at bats, you're almost like, were you just like actively trying to get walked that at bat?
See, I don't see it that way, man. I just don't. I think it's a total approach thing. I think the at bats are, I think that he's very consistent with his at bats. He does not change what he's trying to do, whether he's in a slump or whether he's white hot. He doesn't change. He trusts the process. He goes through his at-bats the same way. He's not over-aggressive. And that's fine if you want him to be. But that's
I don't want him to be over-aggressive. I just want him to be aggressive.
To him, that's fine. But to him, that would be over-aggressive compared to what he is. He's not a guy who does that. He's going to work the count and look for pitches he can drive. If he gets caught off guard with a fastball when he thought it was something else. First off, I don't know how that happens because you should always be looking for a fastball, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. Like he just isn't going to offer. And he's not the only hitter who has this approach. There's a lot of them out there. I have a fear, and I've heard a lot of people say that the same kind of things, but I have a fear that if you start to change a hitter like that, you take 30 homers completely away from him.
No way. It would unlock more power potential.
I don't think so. I think if he starts swinging at pitches that aren't zeroed in what he's looking for, he's just going to start having...
So basically what you're saying is you don't think Jack Sawinski is as good as he can be.
No, I think that's his strength. I mean, being able to have a good eye and not chase is incredible.
Yeah,
a lot of guys chase way more than he does.
Yeah, oh, way more than he does. And I'm not asking him to chase pitches out of the zone. I want him to hit pitches that are in the zone. Is. No, it isn't.
I think, Josh,
he won't swing at a pitch that's on the outer half of the plate with a strike on him, and he can hit that pitch over the fence.
I understand that. What I'm saying is guys that are more aggressive chase more. It happens. Because you swing at pitches every once in a while. Being aggressive, you swing at pitches that you thought were there, and now they're. That's all I'm saying. Like that's.
Yeah, and that'd be
I think
okay
you don't want to change. I think what you want to change from him is when you get to two strikes, it's okay. You don't have to hit a home run. Shorten up. Don't strike out. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like that's.
Yeah, he'll never do that. And I wouldn't expect him to do that.
he takes so many one strike ones, you would just take the power completely out by telling him to shorten up after he gets a strike.
I'm not ever going to tell Jack Swinski, I don't want him to shorten up with two strikes. I'll take his strikeouts. I don't want him to strike out looking so much.
Well, I think, okay. I see what you're saying. I think if you shorten up.
I would rather him chase a couple pitches.
Okay. I think if you're straight, if you're fooled and you already have a shortened up approach, you can foul that ball off. If you're going for a big swing, you're just frozen and you're not going to swing. You know what I'm saying? Like what Cody Bellinger did last year is exactly what I would like to see him do. He totally threw away. He said, with two strikes, I'm just going to shorten up and hit this ball.
I'd like pretty much everybody in the game to do that.
Yeah.
But it's just not going
to
happen.
No. But with zero and one strike, I want Jack Swinski to continue doing exactly what he's doing. Really, Jack Swinski has his problem is his low streaks, like his bad streaks. That's it. Outside of that, I mean, I'll take the strikeouts. That is fine.
Yeah. I just think he'll eliminate those low streaks if he starts attacking some pitches because he's going to get more hits more often.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I think that the whole thing, like what you said, a blanket statement across, I think that's the opposite of what happens here. I think Jack Swinski has some really good skills, and I think that you treat Jack Swinski like Jack Swinski, and I don't want to turn him into everybody else. So I think you let him find a way to get rid of the streaks. And cut down on strikeouts, obviously. Like, yes, I'll take the strikeouts, but not let's cut down on them still. Let's get under 30%. Yeah. You get Jack Swinski with the same approach, under 30% in strikeouts, he's a 30-homer guy.
Yeah. You just get him to swing the bat.
So anyway, he's looked good, I think.
Yeah.
Like I said. I think he's looking good.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not down on Jack Swinski.
So let's go into that next group of players. Because the first one here is on fire. Henry Davis. Because there's not much to say, I'll say first, he's fine catching right now. He's been fine, which is a great sign. And he's been fine. At the plate, he's been more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Just
been crushing the ball.
Hitting the ball hard.
That ball he hit off Corbin Burns in Sarasota, he did not hit that ball. Like, it was not a towering home run, right? Like, it wasn't a line drive, but it was, for sake of argument, line drive. He didn't hit it high. Launch angle, not big. He knew it. He knew it was gone. He knew that was carrying out.
Everybody there did.
He crushed it.
Yeah. Everybody there did.
Yeah.
That's a great sign, man. Mm-hmm. We really need him offensively, especially.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, so good.
Yeah.
Early, too. Early and you're in talking spring about a guy, for a guy to be like that.
And you're talking about a younger guy with a lot of pressure on him to perform, and he's out there performing.
Yeah. How about Rowanzi?
I don't really have much to say.
I would say results mixed, right? But the velo is looking good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good sign.
For sure.
It's a good step. Before we get into second base options, let me do a couple pitchers here who are probably the opposite end of what we talk about here. Bailey Falter, Colin Selby. It's been a little rough.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see him. Bailey Falter had a rough outing in Sarasota. Came back out to the bullpen and threw more.
Yeah.
Obviously something not going right.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's clearly he has something he's working on.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he gets it or not, I don't know. But at this point right now, it's almost kind of hard to see him on this team.
Yeah.
And he's out of options. I kind of thought he would be a long man, maybe six man spot rotation kind of guy. And I mean, wait and see, right? It's spring training.
Right.
But he's obviously, he's not in a good place right now.
Yeah. which is unfortunate. I mean, like you work all off season to come in and not there. It's rough.
I would normally think like different, but the fact that he came back out and threw more, maybe it was we had a certain number of pitches we wanted you to throw and you didn't get there. But it felt like there was something specific. Yeah. So how about Colin Selby? I mean, we watched him do a bullpen before he went out there. He did not have that look on his face like something wasn't right.
Right.
And he got rocked. And he got rocked with hard contact each time we saw him. I think we saw him twice.
Yeah.
And he's gotten rocked in the majors every time he's been out there.
Yeah. I don't know. Because we were actually like standing right behind him, right? Watching his pitches and everything. And I'm just watching. His pitches are flat. They weren't moving a whole lot. His two-seamer had a good run to it. Man, his slider broke like one every four that he threw. Just spin.
And it wasn't a huge break, right? It seemed tight.
Yeah.
But not necessarily late.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's the thing. Like, tight's fine if it's late or if it's dropping. And it just didn't seem...
Like, if it's only going to drop like an inch and then 4 inches or something like that, like that's the plane of the bat.
Yeah.
So when that bat's coming through, it's breaking with the bat. I mean, if the hitter is almost like fooled a little bit and you're going to throw a jam shot and then it just breaks into his barrel and he's no longer fooled. Right. I don't know.
Yeah.
Didn't look good.
Okay. Hunter Stratton actually has looked all right. Now, this is a non-roster guy who's been up here before, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's probably one of the only, like, non-roster pitchers that I feel like might have an outside chance here. With Colin Selby, the way that we've seen him, there's a little bit of a shot that if he does this, like, if they do decide to bring him with him, when they break camp, I could actually see that happening.
I'm not real sure about him. I can't. My brain's not recollecting.
Yeah. He had, we saw him, I think, twice.
I remember the one when he came in a little late.
Maybe it was only the one, and then maybe he threw again.
I just don't remember what happened.
So he pitched against Atlanta. A hit, but he had two strikeouts. And then I'm trying to find his other. He pitched again against Tampa. Two more strikeouts in an inning. Oh, you know what? I have his page pulled up here. It's been 3 games, 3 innings, 5 strikeouts, 1 walk, and 2 hits.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's been good. And he's 27. And like I said, this is a guy who just last year threw 8 games, 12 innings for the Pirates, and had a 2.25 ERA and was DFA'd, but stuck around. And then they re-signed him this offseason to a minor league deal and invited him to spring training. And so far, he's just kind of he's just kind of been fine. And so I think with the age and the fact that he's been here and whatever, I mean – this is maybe somebody to watch.
Yeah, that's
for this bullpen.
Fair. Yeah.
Now, I bring up Colin Selby. He wouldn't be like a 1-to-1. That's if Colin Selby would be on the roster, which I don't see that, right? But he would be, I think he would be a DFA candidate. Maybe Bailey Falter, if that's a scenario. You know what I'm saying? But there's other guys with options that if they don't, you know, Kyle Nicholas hasn't quite looked great. He's likely, you know, if things keep going, this is very early, guys. We're just breaking it down the way we see it right now. But I could see that happening. All right, let's keep moving because the Young Bucks here for the last little bit that we have here. I already started on Paul Skenes earlier.
Yeah,
so let's talk about going down there, not televised. I get it. Everybody's mad. You have a right to be mad. Even today, there was a game in Baltimore that was televised. Like, why couldn't we have got that? Why couldn't we have made that happen? You know what I'm saying? I just don't understand. You've got all the stuff there. Why?
Mm-hmm.
What was the deal here? Not a motivated effort there.
Right.
Yeah. And we talked about this when we were down there. We were saying, oh, do they think this gets in the way of their spring breakout?
Spring breakout.
Yep. And stuff like that. I don't think it would have, especially after we saw what we saw.
A two-pitch at bat.
In particular, right? Those two.
Yeah.
But we saw one inning of work. And because it was efficient, we saw a 10-pitch performance.
Which normal, I love.
Yeah.
Love that. I just wish they would have thrown him out there for a second inning and they just didn't.
Right. We would never change.
That inning. Correct. I mean, we saw 102 on a gun. We saw 101 twice.
And 100.
100 once. I mean, we saw what we wanted to see. We just wanted to see more of it.
We saw him lead off the at-bat against Jackson Holliday with a curveball that we haven't seen yet. Yeah. And he throws first pitch curveball, a pitch we haven't seen.
Yeah.
And then he comes back with 100 and gets him to ground out weak to second.
Mm-hmm.
Then he throws
87.
Yeah. Then he throws like 101 or 99. No.
99 was the
99 was Adley's hit.
The flyout.
But he got it good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, dude, during the Kerstad at bat, he went 102, and the very next pitch was 88.
Good luck.
Now, I think that might have been the changeup that he missed wide right, arm side, but nasty.
Yeah,
and he ends up getting him to pop out. And that dude's got a bat.
Yeah. That was ridiculous. Ooh. We showed up for batting practice. Dude's just putting it off the scoreboard with ease.
Flicking them.
That was crazy.
Yeah. Big year, I think, coming from that guy.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I thought it was a ton of fun. The drama about the TV stuff, the way it carried in, it was the talk of everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. The fact that we got to be there for it. All of that was like the hype was all there. I did a live of his bullpen, a live Twitter deal thing of his bullpen. Yeah. And so there's, you can actually go back and still watch it. You can see what we're talking about when we said that there was something he wasn't loving.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was fun. I thought the whole thing was fun. And I think some people, like yourself included, was just really upset that we got to see only 10 pitches. Me, on the other hand, I still loved it. I thought it was everything I wanted it to be. I would have liked a strikeout. Outside of that, it was everything. I was like, this is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't take anything out of my mouth. Like, I never said I didn't love it. I just wanted one more of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was okay with that because I was cooking in the sun. I was okay with going down the tunnel.
That's funny.
Also in that game, we got to see Thomas Harrington and Anthony Solometo, whatever one it is. I tend to just say both of them until I get the right answer. Just keep saying them both so that I'm going to be there. Anyway, he's funky.
Yeah, he is.
And looks good.
Mm-hmm.
We also watched him struggle in his bullpen.
Yeah.
Hit the pool a couple times. He threw a ball that hit so far off that it went out onto the field and they had to call time. That's like high school stuff.
Yeah, that was interesting.
I don't know what
pitch it was. They had to call time and go get it.
I don't know what pitch it was. I didn't notice there was something he couldn't get a grip on.
The way it was, I mean, it looked like it could have been a changeup just because of the way it came out of his hand. Looked like he had a lot of hand on the ball.
Yeah.
So, you know, you put a lot of your hand on the ball for a changeup.
He was not happy about it.
He was not.
Not happy.
Not happy.
He kept, he went, he, the coach had him take a drink and take a breather, and that was before he threw it out. Then he, the very first pitch just launches this thing. And it's like, man, this is in his head.
Yeah.
But he was solid.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Clean inning?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm finding it. Don't worry.
I believe.
Clean inning with a strikeout.
Yeah.
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 And right before him, Thomas Harrington. And we got to see an extensive bullpen from Harrington. Seemed to be. Okay, so before I say this, I will say I was really impressed with Thomas Harrington.
Yeah.
I've liked what I've seen from him, but I haven't, not being able to like see him in person, right? And most of what I've seen from Harrington is box scores. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of what I'm seeing. I expected him to be a little bit bigger. I kind of had him pegged as like a, you know, just like a non-flashy starting pitcher, kind of has a high floor, but could be good. You know what I mean? He's way more athletic than I thought. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just doesn't look like that type of, it doesn't look like that body type of the pitcher that I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
And I guess it's fair to say, like, so does, I mean, Michael Lorenzen looks great too. You know what I mean? So, and if he ends up Michael Lorenzen, you know, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
But either way, everything looked good. He seemed to have like good command. But when we were watching the bullpen, he was extremely intentional.
Yeah.
There was a lot of things he did that were just like, I don't know, like just really like he was zeroed in. And that guy goes out, he has his inning. And when Solomito's pitching, he's back down in the bullpen on the iPad going over his outing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I was impressed.
Something wasn't quite right when he was thrown on the mound, because I heard him say when he came out, he goes, "You think it was just timing?"
Oh.
So like he was looking for something specific, not sure what that was, but, I think he felt like something in his delivery was just a little out of time.
He had one walk, but he also had a strikeout, no hits. It was a clean inning. It was like a different type of, I was impressed by him, but like, it's not like it was like, oh wow, this dude's blowing me away. Right. But sure. I was impressed by him.
Well, that's the thing too. He goes out there, he has a, you know, the one walk, but a clean inning. And then he comes back and he's like, something went wrong.
Hmm.
Like, dude, you just had a pretty good inning.
Yeah.
And he's still like not good enough.
Yeah. First,
is what he wants to say.
First big league, you know, spring outing.
Yeah. He's like, no, it wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
Let's work harder.
That's good. That's good. A guy who threw today, you know, this is Saturday. We're recording. So Sunday's game, obviously, we don't have on here, but. Mm-hmm. A guy who threw today, and did we see him or did he pitch before we were there? I think he pitched. Yeah, he pitched against the Blue Jays in Dunedin, and then he pitched again today against the Tigers. Is Braxton Ashcraft? That's right, isn't it? Yes, it is right. It got me off for a second because of that whole thing. Anyway, dude's like. He's throwing real hard.
Yeah.
And he looks good, and he's on the 40 man. This is a guy who could show up this year. He's 24. Two clean innings so far, two strikeouts. We got last year here. A, high A, and double A last year. Combined 52 innings with a 2.39 ERA and 19 starts, 63 strikeouts. And I mean, just looking at his double A, like it got better. He had 8 starts in double A, 20 innings, 23 strikeouts to 5 walks, Jake. Does not give up a home run in double A and pitches to a 1.35. So, like, Watch out. Like, when this guy pitches, yeah, pay attention a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Braxton Ashcraft, pay attention. We're talking about all these guys, you know what I mean? And we're like, oh, I don't know, the pitching might be looking good in the next few years. This guy might be a part of it.
Yeah, could be. It keeps progressing like that.
The other two guys here before we wrap it up, Sungshae Chang, he's looked good.
Mm-hmm.
He's hit a few balls pretty hard.
Yeah.
Striking the ball, hit a home run while we were there. Tamar Johnson, dude. How impressive is this guy right now at 19 years old?
I'm really impressed with his approach. I think I was telling you what, like, a lot of our hitters are a little boring to watch as far as like some cool batting stances, but dude, he's got a cool batting stance. I love his hitting. He's got a lot of moving parts, but his head is locked in, right? His head doesn't move much. And that's what translates. You know, you keep your head still, that means your eyes stay still. You can lock in on the ball a lot easier. If you're not trying to look something that's moving that much, then you're moving your eyes, you know. But man, he's hitting the ball hard. He hasn't been playing bad on defense.
Yeah, we've seen some good plays. We saw the relay to get the guy at home.
Yeah.
He's in 500 right now.
Right. Yeah.
He hit the two home runs in Dunedin that day. We saw him smoke a ball into the gap. And then in Sarasota, fooled on a breaking ball. Say what you said, because you called that there.
Yeah, he was fooled, so he's out in front. And so he's still able to get barrel on the ball and put it into a hole. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not easy to do. It's really not.
Yeah. Two RBIs on that hit, I think.
Yeah.
So this says four RBIs. I feel like thought it was more than that. Oh, no, that's Key Bryan with his six RBIs already. So,
yeah.
We have yet to see Bubba Chandler. As far as the Young Bucks, that's the last one that I really am kind of like, okay, I want to see Bubba.
Yeah.
All in all, man, great trip.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun. Saw a lot of good things. And I know we kind of ran the gamut of a bunch of players.
Mm-hmm.
But it's early.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on some of these stories.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'll see how it goes. I don't know. I mean, Henry Davis is a beast. I don't know. I guess the only thing I could say here, I took all these notes, right? The only thing I could say here, I just went on about Solomito and Harrington. Those outings, if you go on YouTube, NS9 is posted videos of every pitch they threw, which I think is the only way you can get that. So, yeah. Yeah, that's basically all I have. It was a good time going down there, man. Mm-hmm. A lot of people. We didn't see Lauren Shahadi, but we did get to see a lot of people. Got to talk with Ryan Ripken for a few minutes.
Yeah,
that was a good time.
Greg Brown,
we got to chat with for a minute, and he shouted us out on TV very quickly.
Didn't have to do that.
That was very nice. And a lot of you heard it and let us know about it. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Got to hang out with the guys from North Shore 9. I'd never met them. Mm-hmm. You'd never met them. Actually, you did meet one of them before, not knowing anything. Him and Tyler had met before and didn't even, and that's on par for the two of you, by the way. It's just on par. Either way, it's always good to get to meet somebody else. We had a couple people that we talked to that were listeners. Bobby came up and chatted with us. I know I'm gonna forget somebody, but
Keith,
yeah, for sure. Keith was there at Lee Com for two of the games. Mm-hmm. Did you see him the second game?
I didn't see him the second game.
Okay. No, but we got to talk to him and say hi to him. Not that there was another one too, but I'm going to, you know, forget. And Also, we got to sit next to the peanut guy who was just cracking his peanuts. I mean, guy was just hilarious. Putting peanuts all over me. I was covered in like peanut flakes. He'd crack it with his mouth, never take his eye off the game like this. Crack it with his mouth, and he'd just do this. And stuff was just flying everywhere until he got to the peanut. And then he'd go, and eat the peanut.
He's literally like a squirrel.
Dude, I was covered, and we're laughing about it. I even pulled my camera out, and I was like, I got to get a video of this guy. So I've got a video of this guy. I hope he doesn't listen or watch, because I'd be embarrassed if he ever found out. But I mean, this guy was, I mean, intently just going at it, right? Oh, come on. I got there. Well, yeah, there we go. We're going to crack it. Now we're going to break it up and attack it. And if you watch this video, which is a little bit, it's not super long, but like you can see stuff just kind of flying.
Yeah.
Right. He stood up at one point, and I mean, there are peanuts and shells and everything everywhere.
Well, he acknowledged it at one point. He's like, oh, no, I'm getting peanuts all over you.
That's what I was going to say. When he sits down and he's like, oh, I got peanuts. And we'd already had all of our moments, right?
Yeah.
And then he looks at me. And I was like, here we go. Because at this point, I am covered in peanuts. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry. And then I finally could wipe it off because I didn't want to just do it and show him that he's doing it.
Yeah.
I guess I was, you know. It's fair. I was being nice, I guess, but we were also dying. You couldn't have talked. If somebody would have said something, you're just shaking.
Yeah.
When he says, when he says, I got peanuts on you. And it just so happened to be, we got to see Quinn Priester, mm-hmm. which we didn't talk about him. We got to see Quinn Priester and then Jared Jones. Why didn't we talk about Jared Jones? Absolute fire.
Yeah.
And then it was like, I don't know, it was Chapman and somebody before him, I think. I don't know. And then we were like, all right, let's get up and go.
Yeah.
Let's get up and not sit here. They're real tight seats.
Right. They were really tight.
Great view, though.
Oh, yeah. Real good view.
So, all right, man. That's all we have. Yeah. What a great trip.
Yeah.
What a fun time. Next time, it's going to have to be longer than that. It's just too short.
Yeah. There you go. Quick shout out to that Outback waitress. She was excellent. Hooked you up, man.
Did hook me up. I got a deal, even though I got more food. And like I'm cutting my steak open, and maybe this is another example of me being nice. And I said, it's a little more pink than I'm used to. How did you order it? And then I told her, and she's like, you don't have to be this way. That's how she said it. You don't have to be this way. I'll take it back. I was like, that's a good way to say that. But then brought another baked potato back.
Right.
And then there was something else that I couldn't eat because of the parosmia stuff. And when I was like, I usually like it, but I don't. And it was so weird. I said, I got this post-COVID thing. And she cut me off and said, where everything tastes really weird. And I was like, I thought, you know? About this? Because nobody ever... And she was like, I'll take that off your check. And I was like, you literally gave me an extra baked potato. You don't have to do that. But she did. Yeah, it was like above and beyond experience from Outback Steakhouse in Bradenton. Now everybody's going to judge us for going to Outback chain. Hey,
you can judge me any day you want. That's fine. I don't care.
Outback is good.
Outback is good.
Also, you know, I have a very limited...
Right.
List of things right now. So, maybe we'll get experimental some other time. Yeah. We also had to wake up at 3:00 in the morning. So judge me. Right. All right. Let's get the heck out of here. Let's let Keely get us out of here.
Yeah. Let's go Bucks.
Let's go Bucks.
Thanks for listening to my dad and Uncle Jake on the Bridge to Bucktober podcast. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Bridge2Bucktober. Don't forget to subscribe so you know when new episodes are released. Clear the deck, cannonball coming, and let's go Bucks!